This week's videos are focused on really having and cultivating an incredible attitude or a state, as some people call it. What is the importance for this? Why is it important to have a decent attitude or a great attitude? Well, I'm going to list some of the reasons here, and we'll get into this video, but over these three videos that I've put together, really focus in on where you're lacking and where it could improve specific areas of your life and or business, okay? That's what I'm asking for. So look at your goals, look at whether you're wanting to work on your relationships right now or your physical health, mental health, whatever the focus is, business. I want you to focus in here on how having an attitude can affect that, because attitude affects every area of our life. Learning from failure is an important skill. And so my first why is, if learning from failure is an important skill, you need to cultivate a good attitude. If you do not have a good attitude, if you cannot get into the state that helps you do what you need to, you will fail and have an awful attitude about it, and it will affect you in really adverse ways. When we learned to walk, it wasn't a big deal, right? So when did it become a big deal to start learning from failure and to start failing in general? What happened is that we associated shame with failure through school, through growing up with parents, whatever it is. So again, with attitude, when you can cultivate your own state and you can get into the right attitude, the right frame of mind, you can foster your own emotional attachment to certain ideas, that will affect you greatly, because you will start being able to fail more, which means you will be able to start learning more. Another reason that you need to start to learn to manage your state, and you know what? One of the reasons is kind of a side reason. When you start to understand how to manage your state, you will start to understand other people's states, and you will be able to start managing their state. We influence others. We're social creatures. And I'm going to get into this quite a bit in at least this first video. If you smile more, it affects other people. Other people will smile more. Do you think that you will get more business done? Do you think you'll have better relationships if you have a good attitude? Absolutely you are. Do you want to spend time with awful people, people that have awful attitudes? It will also help to understand what is happening for other people. You'll have perspective on what's going on. So if somebody has a really strong reaction to you, instead of going, I feel bad now, so I'm going to make them feel bad, you can ask kind of like one fact more. I learned this thing, OFM, one fact more. You can start asking yourself, hey, what am I missing in this situation? What is missing for this person? Why are they acting in this way? It's kind of odd. It's different. It's unexpected in some ways. Another thing with attitude and state is that whatever you focus on will become what's real for you. When you talk about your job, talk about the strong points. When you talk about your partner, your kids, your relationships, your body, whatever you do, talk about the things you appreciate. That will have an incredible effect on you. So what it will do, and this is again the why, it will start to influence how you view the world. Your attitude will give you perspective on the world, and you will either think it's a good day or a bad day based on your attitude, not on what is actually happening. You will start to feel in control. You will influence yourself, and you can do this in many different ways. Affirmations, mission statements, goal rehearsal, small statements made to yourself. You can play to your own confirmation bias, right? You can cheer yourself on. You'll be able to do more. The key with fostering the right attitude and state is really to become consistent. So let's get into this and other reasons why attitude is such an important thing. Is attitude one of those things that is simply people fooling themselves? That's a good question here, okay? A lot of people believe, hey, it's just rose-colored glasses. Somebody that is overly optimistic is not realistic. They don't see things in reality, or the person that's always happy, you might ask, are those people with a permagrin real? Is it simply something that people do to hide pain? They hide pain behind seemingly being happy or having a good attitude. And you know what? The answer is yes and no to all of these questions. Attitude is all about perspective. But in today's video and in this week's videos, I won't be promoting faking things. That's not the key to this. Attitude is not about faking something. to get your way with something. This is not about manipulation, either manipulating yourself or others. I'll talk about changing the way your brain works to fit the real world and help you get what you want faster because of your interaction with others. That's really what it is about, is how do I use attitude, develop a skill with attitude to work towards my goals. That's my focus with all of this. One of the difficulties with attitude is that emotions can come and go very quickly for almost everyone, right? I was born and raised in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Every winter we have weather patterns called Chinooks. And Chinooks can change the temperature by many degrees. So like it is easy in a few hours, or really in a day, to have a 30 degree Celsius temperature change, or like a 50 to 60 degree Fahrenheit temperature change. That's a normal thing in Calgary in the winter. Because a warm wind comes in, and what was really, really, really cold becomes actually quite warm and mild, and then we drop down into the freezer again after the Chinook winds, after those warm winds blow over. This is so extreme that it gives people migraines. A lot of people in my area where I grew up in get migraines from these things because it's such an extreme change in temperature and pressures and all that kind of stuff. So while it might feel fun at times, being on a roller coaster, while it might feel fun at times, it also causes a lot of trouble in life, does it not? And you know, you can take a look at an 8-year-old to kind of figure this out, and you'll have insight as to how often moods and attitudes can change. Somebody's happy one minute, they're sad the next. It's absolute ecstasy in one second, and then they're inconsolable, right? The next second. This is a legitimate problem with people, and if you are struggling with attitude, you most likely get on this roller coaster again and again and again with all the ups and the downs. And I've got a lot of clients that are actually addicted to the roller coaster. It's a pattern for them. And they go, well, I'll take the downs because I really like these highs. The problem with that is that, and the high highs do come with the low, low lows. Here's the thing. You can have more of the highs and less of the lows. You don't have to give up both. The key is to understand that they do come and go. Emotions do come and go, and you need to manage them appropriately. You are going to have emotions like sadness or grief or fear or whatever. They are going to come up in life, and the key is to understand how to deal with them appropriately. So for an example, in a relationship, do you always like the other person? Do you have an intimate partner? Do you always like them? I'm not talking about caring for them. I'm saying, do you always like them? Are you always happy with them? No. And you know what? That isn't the key of intimate relationships, to always be happy with somebody else. The key is investing in the relationship with your actions. And the more you do so, the more you will like that person or that job or that situation or the client or whoever you're working with, right? And this is, I'm going to pull this apart a little bit more here because it's an important concept that, I'm not sure if I'm explaining it with this brief explanation in a way that makes sense to people. Emotions come and go like a roller coaster. They do, for everyone. Having said that, you can learn to manage your state in such a way that you feel better about the roller coaster throughout the process. Okay? That you're enjoying the ride rather than frustration with the ride. So I'll give you an example with my dad. My dad realized, going on a bunch of roller coasters with us when we were kids, that we would feel kind of sick and woozy in roller coasters. And he developed the skill where on the downturns, when there's a lot of, when the stomach's turning or anything like that is going on, he would simply let out a scream. He would go, yeah, and cheer or whatever he was doing. And when he did that, letting out that pressure, he wouldn't get sick anymore. And that's part of this system. It's part of having a great attitude, is realizing that the things that are uncomfortable, that you can develop skills for them to manage them so that they're not all that big a deal anymore. And you can enjoy all the other parts, if that makes any sense. So again, attitudes go up and down. It's like the Chinook temperatures or a roller coaster or an 8-year-old. Things can come and go. The key to this is not hiding or putting on rose-colored glasses or denying that we have other thoughts or feelings or whatever's going on. The key is to learn to manage these things. I have someone close to me who consistently focuses on the negative of each and every situation. That's what's remembered years after. So, for example, let's say we're at this dinner, the images here, and we have a great time, but there's something uncomfortable about that evening. Someone, this person that I'm thinking of, will remember that negative experience. We'll think about the one thing that was uncomfortable, and decades later, we'll talk about how that was a rough night. When really, it was a fantastic night for almost every part of it. Okay, I'll give you a quick example. So one time this person said to me, we had a difficulty in communication a little bit. And they said to me, Mark, what happened a year ago when I came to you with this idea, it was really hard for me to do that. And I said, okay. And they said, well, and when we were discussing it, we both had kind of strong emotions about it. And we were angry with each other. I said, okay. And they said, so it was a really negative experience. And I said, listen, my understanding of that experience is that you did something that was difficult, and in the end, we both got what we wanted. In the end, you got what you wanted and needed. So for me in that experience, what I remember is, hey, it was great to go through that because of what you got out of it. For this individual, what they remember is how hard it was. So again, their perspective, and this is a very important thing for attitude, their perspective is they remember whatever is hard. My perspective tends to be, I remember whatever was gained or what was accomplished. And what you remember about situations, the way you're wired that way, the way you've trained yourself to think that way, will have a great impact on you. For me, it's empowering to have a difficult situation that ends up good. For this person, it's disempowering to have any situation where there's discomfort in the situation. Okay? The only difference there is focus. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you. How does it feel to spend time with somebody who has energy and smiles and laughs a lot? How does that feel? How does it feel to be in the presence of somebody who's happy and is energetic and good, fun to be around? I kind of just answered the question, right? They're fun to be around. How about somebody who is always talking about how bad life is? I was at a gathering within the last week here. It was a birthday party with the kids. And there was an older person there. There was actually an older couple and then another older individual. And the older couple just had fantastic attitudes. Anytime something came up, they thought about what was good about it. And they would talk about that. And they were so much fun to be around. Because we were talking about life. We were talking life in general. And it was kind of like we saw good things in it. It was a very pleasurable experience to have a conversation with this couple. The person on the other side of the table was an older lady who, no matter what came up, no matter what we talked about and about the good in any situation, she thought about all the horror stories in her own life that she's experienced. What's happening for that individual with the terrible attitude, and who she was horrible to be around? I'm sure she was a fine person. She seemed like a decent person. She was an awful person to spend time with. What's happening for her is she's constantly reliving all the horrible things that have happened to her. What that other couple is doing is consistently reliving the wonderful things that have happened to them. And the way it affects, well, and maybe I'll ask you this. Which one would you more want to be around? Second question, which one are you more like? Third question, which one would you want to be more like? Who is going to have more influence on other people? If I ran into that lady on the street, that older lady that has a terrible attitude and remembers all the horrible things about life, if I run into her on the street, how excited am I to spend some time with her or to sacrifice something of myself to give to her? I'm going to struggle with that. That's human nature. How about the person, the couple? The couple that's doing really well and they have a fantastic time and they talk about things that they remember in a positive light. How much time am I willing to give to them? How much energy or commitment am I willing to make to them to help them out with something? Far more, right? Why? Because I want to be around them more. So if you're not getting what you want, if you don't have the kind of relationships you want, if you don't have the kind of clients you want, one thing you need to become aware of is, what is the attitude you have? What are you presenting? How are you talking about situations? Are you always talking about the negative or the positive? Now listen, again, this is not rose-colored glasses. This is a very pragmatic thing. If you are focused on what's going well and you other people see that in their own lives and you affect them in really positive ways, they will want to be around you. They will want to do business with you. They will want to invest in you. Fact. Another fact, you can change your attitude. You can change your state if you so choose, or if things get bad enough that you have to on some level. I know some people who have lost all their family members because they just have a crappy attitude. There's a statement Jim Rohn has made where he says you become the average of the five people you spend the most time with on a consistent basis. You're the average of the five people that, with your finances, with your attitude, with your view of life, with your religious perspective. And this is a really important thing to think about. Who are the people in your life that you spend the most time with? And how does that affect you? Because our attitude rubs off on others and affects others greatly. And others affect us greatly. Energy is sensed in a room and will affect your family and business relationships. Often people have said that I'm a really good speaker or that I'm really influential. And this is what I'd suggest. I'd suggest that I'm not the great speaker that often somebody says I am. What I'd suggest is that I typically have really good energy at the front of a room. I'm excited, I'm passionate about what I'm doing, and that comes across. And people pick up on that. When you smile, other people tend to smile more. And I'll give you an example. There was a study of people done with electrodes on their face. And then they showed these people a bunch of faces of other people, some with smiles, some with frowns, some with different emotions. What they found was not only the muscles in their faces were activated. So if they saw a picture of somebody smiling, the muscles on their face dedicated to smiling tend to be activated more. Sometimes they wouldn't grin, but those muscles would be activated a little bit. Not only would that happen, but they would also enter different aspects of their brain, different parts of the brain would be activated based on those emotions. So they would feel happier when somebody was smiling. They would feel sadder when somebody was frowning in front of them or sad or crying or whatever it is. And this is a fascinating thing. We are social creatures, and you have an effect on other people. This is a very, very important point. I remember my dad saying so many times when I was little, he would say, if you fight with one person, it could be anyone's fault. If you fight with everyone in the family in a day, it's your fault. The buck is on you. Take responsibility for that, right? You are affecting other people. It's not that everyone else is rotten, right? Here's the crazy thing. Even if you smile in a mirror, your social brain will kick in and you'll end up smiling back at yourself. If you give a sincere smile in the mirror, try this, you'll end up feeling happier. It's a crazy, crazy thing. We are social creatures, and that plays a really important role. When we connect with other people, so when we smile when they smile and we frown when they frown, they are more likely to trust us. This is a normal thing for human beings in all cultures. So what about this rose-colored glasses thing, or I'm going to mention a movie and a book called The Secret. What's the deal with The Secret? So the Secret, if no one has seen it or read it, I am not recommending it. it's good for some people, terrible for other people, depending on what your initial paradigms are. The basic premise, it was based on a book that was written in like 1903 or 1907, okay, called... what was it called? The Science of Getting Rich, written by Wallace D. Wattles. And I would recommend that book. It's a really interesting book and has affected a lot of people's thinking in the 21st century. Having said that, The Secret basically was a dumbed-down version of that book and the ideas in it. And the basic premise that came across, at least in the movie, was whatever you want, just think about that a lot and you'll get it. To the point where they said, if you want a parking stall, you know, if you want a parking stall in front of the cafe that you're going to, just really think about that parking stall being open and really want it. And if you think about it enough, then it is more likely that that parking stall will be open for you. I think it actually said that you will get it. I have massive problems with this movie. Not because there aren't some good points in it, because there are some good points in it. The problem I have is that people believe that this is a mystical thing, that if you simply think something, you get it. That's not the way it works. You're missing steps. Even if it does work that way, which I agree, sometimes this can happen, you're missing steps in between. Why do thoughts become things? Why is it that somebody who focuses on a certain kind of client gets more of that client? Why is it that somebody who thinks about a certain kind of relationship gets that relationship, or wants to grow their business in a certain way and thinks about it constantly and ends up getting it? Why does that happen often? This is my belief. And again, if you disagree with this, that's completely fine. If you believe the secret is the be-all end-all of an understanding of the world, that's okay. Okay, I'm not trying to put you down. My view is that when you have a good attitude, when you have a good state, and when you are thinking about things constantly, for example, you're thinking about ways to, I don't know, purchase more real estate, or you're thinking about ways to solve a problem for your clients. If you are thinking about that constantly, are you not more likely to talk about it with others? Are you not more likely to notice and reprogram your subconscious mind to see those kinds of things around you? My belief is yes. And if you are looking at those things and focused on those things, different biases will kick in, like confirmation bias, and you'll start to notice the things that you want to notice. When you notice the things that you want to notice, you are more likely to pick up on them and to act on them. And I think that's as simple as it is. If you're happy and you want to attract other people to your business, your attitude plays an essential role. Because if you're happy, other people want to spend time with you. They're more likely to do business with you. You know what? I'm going to say that's all I'm going to say about this right now. This is a big subject that we can get into, and I don't want to necessarily get into right now. If you have questions about this, bring them up at some point in time, and I'm happy to address them with you, okay? So people with terrible attitudes, there are patterns of people with terrible attitudes. When your focus is on the things you don't like or want or past traumas, if that's where your focus is, you'll continue to live within a state or an attitude that is associated with that memory. That's what PTSD. PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, is reliving a past experience that was traumatic over and over and over and over again, so much that it changes your brain and you live in a constant state of terror. If you focus on other things, even if it's not the things in your own life, if you focus on something in somebody else's life, you can change something for yourself. I'll give you an example. I remember hearing an interview about a guy who went to an airport every day in LA to see people reunited. The arrivals level for LAX, the international airport. And he would see people excited to see each other. He would see people delighted to say hi to each other after they hadn't seen each other in a while and hug and connect really well with somebody. And that joy that he saw consistently started to affect him. This is actually somebody who was suicidal at one point and went from being in a place where he felt like taking his own life to being really happy again. And he basically bored other people's emotions. This changes your state over a period of time. And if you have a terrible attitude, it will also change your state over a period of time. So how do you change, how does a person that with a terrible attitude get there? Well, they focus not on their priorities. When somebody has no focus on their priorities in life, on the value that they want to bring to others, or the legacy that they want to leave for others, or what they want to do in this world, when you are unfocused, you aren't living the way you should be and know you can live. You get bored, you feel ashamed, and you struggle each and every day. When you are focused on the things that and value, focused on the things and the people you value and live with purpose, that will affect you greatly as well. Second pattern that I've noticed, people that have terrible attitudes tend to develop patterns that lead to the emotions they want. Okay, so they've got detrimental emotional patterns. People become whiners. They don't start out that way. Whining and complaining and feeling terrible is a pattern, something you develop over time. You can consider it almost a skill that you must train for over a long period of time. This can be learned from parents, but then fostered in yourself. And you know people like this, no matter, again, like that lady that I mentioned earlier, no matter what somebody says, she's going to make it a terrible day. To develop a different pattern, you need to align again with your priorities and then ask yourself what feelings will get you there. Begin practicing feeling good, happy, grateful, confident. And again, you don't have to use your own situation to remind yourself about that at the beginning to help yourself. You can use other people, the five people you spend the most time with. Spend time with people that are joyful and grateful, and you will become more joyful and grateful, okay? People with terrible attitudes also allow, they help themselves from the outside. So they allow, they have fostered ways to help themselves, skills to help themselves that actually don't help them become a better person. I'll give you an example. Drugs, alcohol, friends, games, movies, shopping, making money, new relationships, distractions of all sorts. Those can all be addictions. And those addictive behaviors are helping somebody feel good for a moment or more distracted for a moment without actually helping somebody. You need to learn to help, find help for yourself from within. You need to learn to be in control of yourself. And this is where routine will play a role. And I'll get into routine in the third video there. Also, people with terrible attitudes allow the moment to control their decisions. So instead of having a well-laid plan and sticking to the plan, they allow the moment and the emotion of the moment to control their decisions. I know lots of people like this. I've had lots of clients like this that have struggled with it. Emotions control their decisions and the way they treat others. So when they feel angry, they lash out. When they feel sad, they lock themselves in the room. When they feel hurt, they hurt others or pull away from others. And whatever they're feeling has an effect on their actions in the moment. This is basically the fight or flight thing happening to people in negative ways, in detrimental ways. A person must learn to notice your emotions and then take action to help yourselves not fight or run away. You need to take a different action. You also need to be in a place where you can switch your state and get into a better state. Now, this first video might be viewed as really negative, and I don't mean it that way at all. What I mean is to bring awareness to how you are and how other people are around you. And if you're struggling with the attitude, or you spend a lot of time with people who struggle with their attitudes, you are going to struggle at some point in time, okay? But you affect others, others affect you. Keep that in mind. It's extremely important and will affect your business and life. So right now, just think about that a bit. Think about a few of the questions I asked, and then we're going to get into the next lesson where we talk about kind of attitude and routine a little bit as well.